and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse number 1. Last time our Lord Jesus said, pray for laborers for the harvest. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so we brought about last time about how it is that there's laborers amongst the children of God that are not working, but they're just takers in the church. They're not givers in the church. They just take from the ministry and not a giver of ministry. And then there are also those that will be harvested, that the Lord will save and bring into his church for the continuance of the work. They then will become laborers in the harvest, the very harvest that brought them in and that the Lord used to save and call them to service and work in his church. In Matthew 10, verse number 1, and when he had called unto him, Jesus, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So we see here the Lord takes the 12 disciples, the apostles, and he's going to send them forth, and he's equipped them. He's given them power to cast out demons. He's given them power to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he's going to send them forth. They are there with the Lord in his ministry. They've been watching the Lord. They've been learning from the Lord. They've been hearing the teaching of the Lord. And now he's going to command them. He's equipped them and he's commanding them, sending them out to be a forerunner of him, to be a witness of him, to prepare them for the work that they will undertake and be responsible for after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the completion of his gospel, they being the first leadership in the church after the Lord Jesus' ascension. So the Lord is training them. The Lord is preparing them. The Lord is providing for them and equipping them for this work. Verse number 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. So he sends them this first part. He tells them, I don't want you to go to the Gentiles. I don't want you to go to the part Jew and part Gentile. I want you to go just to the household of Israel, to the lost sheep in Israel. And so the Lord indicates here about his lost sheep. There are sheep that are lost and that the Lord is looking and finding them and saving them. And so he said, that's who I want you to go. That's who to whom I wish you to go, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want you to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that the kingdom of heaven has never come closer than at this time when the Savior, God the Son, God come in the flesh, is at hand. And he says, heal them, cleanse them, the lepers, raise the dead. Interesting that the Lord indicates that they have power to raise the dead. Cast out the devils. You have freely received this power from me, this ministry from me. Freely give it. And it kind of smacks of what we saw last time in chapter 9 about the laborers, the necessity for laborers, the bountiful harvest. But the Lord says there's few laborers, that we need more laborers. and how it is, I brought out this point that some of those laborers that are needed are just the children of God that say that they're saved, they're in one of the Lord's churches, but they just want to be receivers of the ministry, just a taker of the ministry. The Lord says, freely ye have received, freely give. Freely give. He says, don't charge for this. Don't leverage with this. I have freely given this to you. You freely give it and provide it and bless others with it. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Don't take any money nor scrip for your journey, that of the Romans evidently. Neither two coats, don't take two coats. Neither shoes, don't take extra shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. He sends them out at this time saying, take no backup plan. No extra coat, no extra shoes, no extra stave. Don't take any money. Don't take it. Don't take, just take what you wear. And he says, for the workman is worthy of his meat. The laborer that labors in the vineyard of the Lord is worthy of the care and the sustenance and the payment that he would receive. The Lord declares that that is the case. There'll be provision, and that's what the Lord's plan is that his ministers be provided for out of the ministry. And the Apostle Paul makes these things clear too. Not that a man should rise up and become wealthy on the backs of the people, but the people should provide those that labor amongst them. The design of the Lord is that those that labor in the ministry amongst the people should be cared for from the ministry itself. And the Lord declares it. He says, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Verse 11, and to whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And some might misunderstand this about saying, well, who here is worthy to be a partaker of our ministry, to hear from our ministry that the Lord's given us? Who here is worthy? Are you worthy? What the Lord is indicating here is that when they go in and they look to preach, those that are worthy are those that receive it, those that look to hear it and believe it and trust in it and to follow it. Those are the worthy, not the rejectors, not the unbelievers, not the unrepentant, but those that receive it. And he says, if you find those that will hear, if you find those that will receive it, abide there abide till you go thence. Verse 12, and when you come into an house, salute it, greet them well, bless them, and don't be standoffish, but salute it. Do well. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If they're receptive to it and they receive the word of God, but if it not be worthy, if they're rejectors, let your peace return to you. Don't stay. Don't force the issue, but let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. He says, if a house is not, that they're not receptive to it, if a city is not receptive to it, when you're leaving, when you're departing, shake off that dust. Bump your sandals together, bump your sandal against your calf, shake off that dust off of your clothes. It will be a testimony of God against them. You mean the Lord would keep track of his disciples knocking off the dust off of their sandals and off of their clothes from a city? He says in verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You know, we ought to think about that for a while and just muse and meditate upon that for a moment. The Lord Jesus says, a house is worthy in their reception of the message. A house is worthy in their reception of the ministers of the Lord, these 12 apostles. There's a blessing there. There is that working of that harvest and souls redeemed and saved by the Lord, lost sheep found. But then there's that house or that city that rejects it, that they don't want anything to do with it. They're standoffish about it, and it's just not something that they want. They don't want that for themselves at all. They're troubled by it. It works against their religion. It works against their will and what they want. The Lord says that shake off the dust of those houses, the dust of those cities. And he says, in the day of judgment, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. If you're under the hearing of my voice here in this broadcast, did you hear those words? Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven because of their great wickedness before God. And the Lord says the rejectors of his gospel and his ministers, his ministry, will have a greater condemnation and judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. We would say in our minds, how could that be? But this is how serious the coming of the kingdom of God is. Don't allow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the need of your soul to repent before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're a sinner condemned and guilty with the condemnation of your sin resting squarely upon your head. If you leave out of this life without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you will spend an eternity in hell separated from God and everything that is good. Don't reject the ministry of the Lord's work and church and ministers. Don't reject the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not reject the coming of the kingdom having come so close to you. Sodom and Gomorrah has little to pay for compared to those that reject this ministry and the gospel and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through his people and through his churches. Indeed, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help you. If you're here, if you're under the hearing of my voice without Christ as Savior, repent and believe the gospel of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.